Chapter 28. The opening salvos of the battle were fired by two UN Navy battlecruisers jumping in to disable the star carriers of the enemy task force. For some reason we didn't understand, all four of their star carriers were conveniently clustered together, making for a short battle. It was not convenient that those star carriers were parked less than 10 light minutes from the task force. Again, for some reason we didn't understand. The proximity of the two formations of enemy ships meant a pair of our battlecruisers had to jump in, slice the star carriers apart, and jump away to rejoin the third fleet while still having enough charge in their capacitors to complete jumps during the primary attack. They managed the task with 50 seconds to spare, but I think Zhao was cutting it too close. If I had been in command, I would have sent only one battlecruiser to knock out the star carriers, then act as a reserve. But I wasn't in command, and Zhao hadn't asked me. In another change of tactics, Valkyrie was not held in reserve for the big battle. We went in with the other former Extinction-class battlecruisers, a fact that required me to assure Skippy that of course our ship was unique and special. While the seven badass battlecruisers and destroyers of the Third Fleet clustered tightly in two arrowhead formations to concentrate their firepower and create synergy between their point defense systems, we jumped in alone. The timing of our high-speed attack runs past the enemy formation was coordinated so that between Valkyrie and the two Third Fleet squadrons, there would be continuous damping field coverage to prevent any ships from jumping away. Our ships would rely on surprise and speed, with our momentum carrying us quickly past the enemy and beyond the range of their damping fields. That was the plan, anyway. Zhao took his ships in to rake both sides of the enemy formation, with his Intrepid leading Independence, Glorious, and the destroyers on what we designated the starboard side. The port side had Liberté leading three battlecruisers, including Sims' own Defiant. Valkyrie, with Skippy's precise control of our jump drive, emerged behind the center of the Maxulk's task force and tore through like a shark slashing a school of fish. Thanks to the extreme awesomeness of the beer can, our pre-programmed railguns were slamming darts along their launch rails as we jumped, with the projectiles ripping into unprotected targets even before our sensors recovered from the jump distortion. Our speed had us blasting through the enemy formation before the barely initiated damping field could catch up to us, allowing us to jump away earlier than planned and emerge again behind the task force, this time pouring fire at ships on the port side. That second time, I felt the deck rock as we took a few hasty and poorly aimed shots before we jumped away. And then we emerged right in the center of the enemy formation between two battleships that were still bringing up their defense shield projectors to full power. You know the saying, you snooze, you lose? In combat, it is you snooze, you die. Both of those proud capital ships became newly born sons when our railguns, all cranked up to 11, tore holes right into the stored energy of the enemy jump drive capacitors. Result? Boom! As our momentum carried us through the heart of the formation, which was in complete disarray, our guns blasted precisely aimed salvo after salvo of maser beams, streams of high-energy charged particles and railgun darts, all at point-blank range. At one point, for a split second, we passed within 600 meters of an enemy heavy cruiser that had clumsily turned toward us, just before that cruiser, you know, exploded right in our faces. Holy shit. I didn't need to complete my insightful observation. The pilots initiated a jump as soon as they saw the enemy cruiser become a short-lived star. We survived the jump, so I'm counting that as a win. When I recovered from the nausea of a bad jump, I swallowed hard to keep my breakfast where it's supposed to be and took a deep breath. Skippy, what the f... Oh, wow, General Dude, came Bilby's moronic surfer drawl. Skippy's like... busy, you know? Controlling that last jump was not easy, even for him. Yeah, sure. I could feel myself coming down off an adrenaline high. Sit rep. We're good. Mostly the hull got scorched. Part of the armor plating melted. I didn't know it could do that. The entire ship on the port side looks like it lost an argument with the sandblaster. We'll need to swap out a bunch of shield projectors, antennas, stealth field generators, stuff like that, you know? All that damage, and you still think we're good? Well, compared to the enemy, you know? They got wasted. Show me. Oh my God. According to the display, we had jumped less than 2 light seconds away, so the view I had was close to real time. Of the 31 enemy ships in the formation when our attack began, there was a grand total of 7 things that were still recognizable as starships, or things that used to be starships. All 7 were represented by flashing orange icons. None of them were capable of moving under their own power, or doing any of the war things a warship is designed to do. The display showed 7 starship hulls that were mostly in one piece, dozens of spinning partial hulls, too many unidentifiable chunks of whatever, and an expanding cloud of particles too small to track individually. Holy shit. Something very important was not anywhere on the display. Bilby, where is the 3rd Fleet? Wow, I don't know. Sensors detected 7 jump signatures right around the time we jumped the last time. Outbound signatures? You didn't see where they jumped to? Not yet. This is bogus. Oh, that's not good. I felt sick. They should have done a micro jump like we did, right? They should be close to... Ah! Skippy groaned, sounding like he was hungover from drinking half a bottle of tequila. Not that I would know what that's like, but I've heard about it. Not necessarily, Joe. The 3rd Fleet jumped away before we did, just as the 2 battleships exploded. We got caught in that combined shockwave, then the cruiser blew to hell right next to us. I had to create a space-time warp to deflect some of the kinetic energy away from us while I tweaked the jump drive. Admiral Zhao's ships were spared that little bit of fun. If you want, I can run the sensor data backward to see... Do it, I ordered. We watched the composite video, put together from sensors aboard Valkyrie and data feeds from the 3rd Fleet. As expected, the 3rd Fleet was still making their 2nd attack run when Valkyrie jumped in between 2 battleships for our 3rd pass. He was right. The images were confusing. By that time, the battle space was filled with debris, high-energy radiation, missiles, and powerful sensor jamming. It was still clear that Zhao got his ships out of there after the speed of light photons of the shockwave washed over them. But just before the wavefront of what used to be heavy battleship armor reached their position. Okay, that's good. Can you guess where they went? Nuh-uh. Skippy was too weary to say anything clever. There is too much interference in the battle space. However, I can estimate how far they jumped. Between 17 and 26 light minutes. The lack of precision is due to not knowing the exact condition of their drives at the moment the event horizons formed. That's fantastic, Skippy. Good. Those crews did a hell of a job to get out of there, and I don't think the monkeys aboard those ships did anything. Skippy was a bit more cheerful. The ship AIs almost certainly took direct control and jumped away for self-preservation. That, he sighed, is a major advantage of AIs that don't have the pain in the ass restrictions I am stuck with. Hey, you are amazing even with those restrictions. I'm working on it, he grumbled. In case the fleet doesn't know we survived, send out a broadcast with our ID, please. Done. Joe, it's likely the 3rd Fleet ships won't be jumping back here anytime soon. Assuming they run an accelerated diagnostic and realignment of their jump drives, they won't attempt to jump for another 40 minutes. I turned my attention back to the display. Then we'll need to handle the cleanup on Aisle 3 by ourselves. Are any of the bad guys over there capable of a jump? No. No way, Jose. It's a bad situation, Joe. All the surviving ships are venting atmosphere. They have serious power management issues. As he spoke, the side of a heavy cruiser erupted in a gout of yellow flame, making that ship stagger and begin to tumble slowly sideways. Like I said, Skippy continued, power conduits are blowing out all over those ships. I hate to say this, but we may have to provide humanitarian assistance. We what? You heard me. I heard you. I don't believe what I heard. Why would we ultimately... Isn't this mission all about diplomacy? Our goal is to get the Maxalts to the negotiating table, even if we have to drag them there by the throat. He's right, sir, Strebik said. Also, we want the senior species to consider us peers. Providing assistance to a defeated enemy is one of the provisions we will want included in any treaty. It was my turn to give the side eye. Strebik, why do my executive officers think it's their job to remind me of things I don't want to do? Despite the situation, she had a twinkle in her eye. It's good to have a cool, steady presence on the bridge. If you offer to render assistance, you can skip your vegetables tonight and I won't nag you about it. Oh, well then. Hey, you don't always eat your vegetables. I didn't request an XO to nag me about it. Shit. Fine. Skippy, what's the condition of our drive? We can perform an immediate micro jump to bring us within 1,000 kilometers if you like. What about a jump away from there if we have to? We can do that also. Just don't ask to jump more than about 20 light seconds until I've had time to fully recalibrate the coils. We lost several banks of coils. I'm having to regrow them from seeds. The wonky condition of our drive meant I couldn't jump over to consult with Zhao, even if I knew where the Third Fleet was. I was on my own until our ID ping reached him, and he either sent a speed of light reply or got his own jump drive sorted out and arrived to take charge. Being on my own didn't mean I could just do whatever I wanted, or even what I thought best. The operation was under Zhao's command. My special mission group was a supporting element. I needed to consider what Admiral Zhao would want me to do. Fortunately, he and his staff were sticklers for procedure, unlike the loosey-goosey merry band of pirates. Before the attack, he had issued a commander's intent document, outlining in concise fashion why the attack was being initiated, what goals we had, and the desired end state, which was the complete destruction of the enemy forces' ability to wage war, or even to move under their own power. Most importantly for me, he included anti-goals, outcomes he wanted to avoid, like any action that would make the United Nations Navy appear to be unprofessional, overly bloodthirsty, or in any way unworthy of being trusted by potential allies. Skippy was right, dammit. We should make an effort to be merciful in victory. Merciful with, you know, our railguns locked and loaded. We're not stupid. Humanitarian assistance. To the freaking kiddies. I shook my head. I should have signed up for the Salvation Army. Should I get pilots into dropships? Strebik asked. No, and do not launch the Ready Bird. If we are providing help, we'll use remotely piloted dropships or bots. Putting crews in those birds will make a lot of itchy trigger fingers over there nervous. Ready, Skippy? Ready, Freddy? He was getting back to his old, irascible self. Jump option is Bravo. Bravo? That confused me for a moment. Usually, when we added an option to the standard list, it began with a letter beyond Delta in the NATO phonetic alphabet. Why, I assigned the option of B because I agree. This is bullshit, he explained. But we gotta try anyway. Pilot, I tugged my seatbelt tighter across my waist. Jump option Bravo. Punch it. We emerged 1,200 kilometers from the closest enemy ship. A shocking 200-kilometer miss, which I didn't mention to Skippy. He was probably holding our jump drive together with duct tape and hose clamps. He didn't need me pointing out something that didn't make any difference to us. As I slapped the seat harness open and stood up, it occurred to me that I had no idea what to say. Angry Joe was a role I'd gotten used to. The role of helpful Joe was unfamiliar, but I gave it my best shot. Begin broadcast, I said quietly. And a moment later, the little blinking light in the top right of the display indicated we were transmitting. Holding up my hands, I opened with, "Don't shoot. The fighting is over. We are available to render assistance to prevent further loss of life aboard your ships." The reply came almost before I finished speaking my piece. While I chose verbal and visual communication over a radio transmission, the Maxolks chose to use photons in a more focused manner. Tightly focused. Like in a maser beam. More than one. The deck rocked under my feet. More than it should have, given the display assuring me our energy shields were at 98% effectiveness. Tapping my phone to kill the transmission from our end, I called. Bilby, what? Sorry, dude. Shields are holding. The vibration you feel is like one of the projectors that got loose from its mount. I've got bots on the way to fix it, but like, those little dudes can only crawl so fast, you know? To the pilots, I ordered, roll the ship to keep that projector away from the enemy. The display was now showing missiles inbound. 4, 6, damn it. More than 20 missiles were inbound and running hot just before they dropped into stealth, and we had to track them with our sensor field, which the enemy was doing their best to jam. Opening comms again, I waved my hands. Hey, I said don't shoot! Joe, Skippy wanted my attention. I suggest we skedaddle. Shit. My first attempt at a humanitarian gesture was not going well. Get us out of here. We emerged 7 light seconds away. It wouldn't take long for the enemy to find us. We jumped into a fine cloud of dust left from the recent battle, and there was no way to hide the fluorescing particles around us. Soon, the missiles that were disappointed when we disappeared would get new targeting instructions. Bilby, let's try this again. Please ping the kiddies one more time. I spoke as clearly as I could. We are offering to help. We will provide any assistance you require to be delivered by remotely piloted dropships. Please respond without shooting at us. Do you want assistance? It took 7 seconds for my words to reach the enemy, and 7 seconds for their reply to slowly crawl all the way back to us. The reply came within 20 seconds, so whoever contacted me hadn't needed long to think about what to say.
We want you to die, human filth.
Angry Joe had to step aside and let Helpful Joe handle the situation. Is there anyone else I can talk with? Surely someone over there understands your situation is hopeless. Shooting at us is a worthless gesture. Part of my wish was granted. A different voice responded.
We understand that lowly humans seek to subjugate us.
Another volley of missiles slammed out of launch tubes as whatever her name is spoke. Oh, for... I took a breath to calm myself. It didn't work. Hey, all we want is for you to stop shooting at us, you piece of shit. You're the ones who want to rule the whole freaking galaxy. Think you have the right to rule everyone else. We understand that your species can't help being a delusional bunch of assholes. In my mind, Angry Joe was jumping up and down, waving his hands and shouting, "Ooh, ooh!" to get my attention. Angry Joe had a good point. Talking to the Maxulks was a waste of time. Okay. I took a deep breath. Listen, shithead. We tried tough love. It's time for tough hate. Let's see how you like that, huh? Sir? Behind me, Strebik called, a warning tone in her voice. Don't worry, Exo, we are not shooting back. It would take a while for even the first volley of missiles to travel the 2 million kilometers out to our new position, and with our sensors far from the source of jamming, I was confident we could knock those missiles out of the sky before they were close enough to hurt us. Turning back to the camera, I silently reprimanded myself for losing my cool. This is silly. You can't hurt us, and you know it. If you don't want our help, we will be contacting your client soon. Would you rather the Bosphorok found your crippled ships out here? Go ahead. Launch more missiles at us. Every one of them you expend is one less you can use to defend yourselves against your loving and dutiful clients. We waited. No reply came for several minutes. This is a good sign, Strebik whispered, her back to the camera. She had gotten out of her seat to stand beside me. At least they're not shooting. That was true. Though we were tracking faint images of 2 groups of stealth missiles curving their way toward us at high speed. If the Maxulks were giving up the fight or had any freaking sense at all, they would recall their missiles. The first salvo had burned too much fuel to be useful, but the second group could be ordered to form a protective sphere around the 7 increasingly defenseless ships. They were running on reserve power with minimal shields, unable to maneuver. The Bosphorok could stand off at a safe distance and fire railguns to rip holes in their patron's ships. I guess no response means they're thinking about how to respond, I mused. That's good. Maybe we're making progress. I was interrupted by the enemy's response. All 7 ships self-destructed in flashes of blinding light. Well, shit, I whispered, my shoulders slumping. I was just about to sweeten the deal with a big stack of Taco Bell coupons. Strebik snorted. Sims would have been appalled by this senseless loss of life, but my new exo curled up one side of her mouth. More tacos for us, then. Nearly an hour later, we received a hail from Zhao. The Third Fleet had jumped 26 light minutes away and responded as soon as they heard our ID ping. He ordered me to take whatever action was needed to ensure the enemy was combat ineffective and unable to jump away to warn their people. We sent a burst message back explaining the situation and our actions, but it was OBE. The Third Fleet would have seen the explosions from the ships self-destructing before they received our message. And anyway, Zhao jumped his ships back near us 15 minutes after we heard from him.
That is a less than optimal result, he told me after we arranged a rendezvous. Sir, I half closed my eyes in a wince before remembering we were on a video link. My attempt to offer assistance was clumsy, and, General Bishop, I find no fault with your actions. Making an offer to help was inspired. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned we intended to inform the boss Farrakh about the crippled ships here. Bishop?
Sir?
When a superior officer offers praise, it is wise to accept it. I felt my face growing red.
Yes, sir, I'm kind of unused to hearing approval.
The fault for the undesired outcome of the battle lies entirely with the Maxalks. They stubbornly chose death over an opportunity to live and possibly fight again. However, there are aspects of the engagement that could have gone better. I knew what he meant, at least regarding how my ship had performed. Yes, sir. Shoot, move, communicate. We will work on that last item.
Valkyrie had conducted 3 attack runs in the time the Third Fleet had done only 2. We jumped in, shot at the enemy, jumped away to do it again and again. The shoot and move part of our performance was of course not flawless, but I could not have been more proud of my ship and crew. There was also no denying that we had fallen short on keeping the Third Fleet informed of our status and intentions. That was my fault. I needed to do better at training my crew for joint operations. Valkyrie had flown and fought alone for so long, it wasn't yet instinct for us to coordinate with other ships. Maybe our lack of communication did not change anything. The point is, Zhao's captains had not been given a heads up about what we planned to do and when. Combat is a fluid situation. It is vital to inform your team when you are adjusting your plans to developing circumstances.
I'll have a preliminary after-action report to you within the hour. He nodded. There wasn't any need for him to say anything more about the subject, and that was a sign of his respect for me. He trusted that I understood, I recognized my mistakes, and knew I had work to do. Glorious will require a few minutes to recalibrate their drive before they can make an accurate jump again. Then I want to get away from here. We know there is an enemy destroyer squadron that will soon detect light from the battle. Plus, those 3 cruisers we couldn't locate could be in the area. If the Maxalks here had simply waited, they could have been rescued. That is troubling. Perhaps their culture is so invested in the lie about their innate superiority, they will be unable to reach any sort of negotiated agreement with us. That's why we plan to not offer them a choice. I put on my tough guy face, though it was all an act. They agree to leave us alone, or we crash their wormhole networks. Let's see if they are happier when they are supreme masters of their own little isolated pockets of territory. Zhao nodded. It is time for this fleet to return to Jia Yuguan for servicing. My ships need to repair battle damage. Are you prepared for the next phase of the operation? Slamming the door shut on a network of wormholes? I asked as I looked to Skippy's avatar. He gave me a silent thumbs up. We are ready. Sir, you will be hard-pressed to reach the Jia Yuguan wormhole before its next scheduled opening. When talking with Zhao, I remembered to use the official name for our forward operating base instead of Jaguar like everyone did. Especially with international tensions simmering on Earth, I had to avoid doing anything the Chinese might take as a sign of disrespect. Yes. He knew the schedule for that wormhole. It had been a factor in his decision to conduct a third attack. Before he could say anything else, I hastened to add, we could accompany the Third Fleet back to the wormhole. With Skippy creating a shortcut, you will get there in plenty of time. The skin around his eyes crinkled slightly. That's the downside of super high-definition video. The viewer can see every detail.
I do not wish to divert you from your mission.
I've thought about that, sir. A delay could work in our favor. Give time for the Maxulks to hear about our attacks against them. Let them process the idea that we are hunting them, that we're not afraid. They'll be waiting for another attack, and when it doesn't come, they might think the danger is over, that we're satisfied we have done enough damage to pay them back for the attack on Earth. Then, when we do crash the wormhole network, it will be more of a shock. We can use the time to get a message to the negotiation team. Let them know the situation. He stared at me, considering. Probably he was wondering what hidden agenda I had for being so helpful. I was worried that he had a hidden agenda. Like maybe Zhao would use the excuse that, while waiting for the Jaguar wormhole to open on schedule, he might send some ships to Earth. Specifically, that he might want to go to Earth himself, in his flagship Intrepid, or Chang'an, as he would say the name. At the moment, there was a balance of power in the sky over our homeworld. Each of the 5 UNEF permanent members had a battlecruiser, plus one under direct UN control. If a second Chinese-controlled battlecruiser arrived at Earth, it might tempt short-sighted politicians to do something stupid. Really, another capital ship aligned with any nation could upset the balance of power. The threat of the planet freezing still loomed over everyone on that world, and the political maneuvering to secure living space in the tropics was still going on when we left Earth orbit. The situation was volatile, and the threat of another alien attack was less worrisome than the possibility that the nations of Earth would go to war over resources. If you think I am being paranoid, don't listen to my opinion. Read the official statement from UNEF Command about how they recommend handling the requirement to rotate ships back to FOB Jaguar for maintenance. There was no question that ships would need maintenance, and there was no question that while minor issues could be taken care of in our home star system, any heavy work needed the shipyard and fabricators at Jaguar. The optimal solution was for 6 fully operational ships to be brought back to Earth to replace one for one the 6 ships there, all at the same time. That way, no nation would have a gap in coverage, and all 6 of the incoming ships would presumably be in the same state of conducting workups with their crews. No one would have an advantage. There was no way the optimal solution could actually be implemented. With only 18 Yongan-class battlecruisers in the supposedly United Nations Navy, each of the 5 permanent members only had 3 ships under their control. To keep one ship continuously on station at Earth, each nation had to have another ship in transit to Jaguar, while a 3rd ship was undergoing refit at the forward operating base. When truly major maintenance items were due, either the other 2 ships had to defer needed work on critical systems, or there would be a gap in coverage at Earth. All that assumed the 3 ships did nothing but shuttle back and forth between our homeworld and Jaguar. Any sort of combat action, or even a preventative patrol elsewhere in the galaxy, would interrupt the fantasy that 2 of the 3 ships would always be available. As Skippy would say, ugh. The most burdensome element of military planning is sustaining a force in the field. Okay, really, the most difficult element of planning is not knowing how much support you would get from fickle politicians back home who provided the funding for unsexy stuff like spare parts and consumables, but you know what I mean. We had been able to keep Valkyrie flying long past the expected life of major components because our badass battlecruiser was put together from multiple ships, so we had a ready supply of spares. Plus, the magic of Skippy allowed us to stretch out the useful life of many... Okay, sorry. Too much nerdy military trivia. Trust me, it's important. So, in addition to worrying about supremely advanced aliens who had murderous intent, I had to worry about trigger-happy idiots on Earth. My life sucks sometimes. I know you're worried about the security of Earth, I added, while he was still thinking about it. We have 6 Yongan-class ships there now. After the beating you gave the Maxulks in the last 3 engagements, they shouldn't be eager to tangle with the Navy again until they analyze our tactics and capabilities. If, maybe when, they decide to up the stakes and hit back, the 3rd Fleet needs to be fully combat ready. The sooner your ships cycle through the Jia Yuguan shipyards, the sooner you can bring the full firepower of the Navy to bear. He wasn't ready to commit yet, regardless of whether my argument was persuasive or not. That was the cautious side of Admiral Zhao that UNEF Command thought they were getting when they appointed him to the post. You make very valid points, Bishop. While I consider my options, I do not want to remain here any longer than necessary.
I'm sending a pair of destroyers to jump in system and inform the Boss Farrakh of recent events here. Valkyrie will join the fleet to rendezvous with the Star Carriers. Yes, sir. I snapped a salute. May I offer congratulations on a victory hard fought and well earned? He grinned and returned the salute.
You may. I wish to offer my thanks to the valiant crew of Valkyrie.
Thank you, sir. I could feel my chest swelling with pride on behalf of my crew.
One question before we go, General Bishop.
Ah, shit. I'm sure the expression on my face instantly slid from pride to fear.
Sir? Would you care to explain this?
His face disappeared, replaced by a composite sensor image of the battle. It showed Valkyrie between two enemy battleships during our third attack run, no more than a dozen kilometers separating the three ships, plus four Maxulk's destroyers that were escorting the big battle wagons. Each of the battleships had the destroyers tucked in close to their aft engineering sections, one to port and one to starboard. My guess at the time was they were practicing a maneuver wherein the destroyers allowed their point defense systems to be controlled by the battleships to protect the big ships. Valkyrie was concentrating fire not on the battleships with their strong energy shield and tough armor plating, but on the destroyers between us and the capital ships. As the video scrolled forward in slow motion that became super slow-mo so that pitiful human brains could follow the action, I watched our ship's big maser and particle cannons beat up on the destroyers in rapid-fire pulses of hellish energy. The destroyers were physically pushed sideways toward the battleships under the assault as their shields attempted to deflect and absorb the incoming fire. The pink, then orange color of their shields facing toward us told me those shield projectors were losing the contest, then several projectors on each ship blew out. As the failing shields reached peak color, a double tap of railgun rounds from Valkyrie raced through the gap to impact the thinly armored hull of the destroyer, punch through and into the unprotected underlying structure, and came out the other side, where the energy shields of the destroyer interfered with the shields of the too close battleship, creating spectacularly colorful lightning and rendering both sets of shields temporarily vulnerable. The railgun rounds, their sleek, exotic matter tips only blunted from passage through the destroyer that had barely slowed them down, were aimed straight at the battleship's banks of virtual capacitors where the energy to enable jump drives to twist spacetime was stored. The first round splattered against the extra-thick armor plating that surrounded the capacitors, only cracking the dense armor. The second round followed close on the heels of the first, striking right where a crack had opened in one plate. One thin crack in one panel of armor. It was enough. The second railgun dart flashed into plasma in a nanosecond, burning into and through everything in its path, including the banks that stored jump drive energy. Result? Well, you know. Boomity-boom. Damn. Sometimes I provide truly insightful analysis.
Was that planned? Zhao demanded.
More like we took advantage of an opportunity, I said, not intending my statement to have the uplift at the end that made it a question. Those destroyers were in the way, but in a good way, if you know what I mean.
Your opportunity caused those battleships to explode and nearly took your ship and mine with them.
It was a lucky shot.
No way, dude.
Bilby, like his idiot father, did not know when to shut the hell up.
I programmed those railgun shots. Gnarly, huh? Maybe I should have warned you. It all happened so fast.
Shooting through one ship to hit another? Zhao shook his head in disbelief.
Sir, I cringed. All I can say is out here, the only thing you can expect is the unexpected. The enemy didn't see that one coming.
Certainly I did not expect a pair of battleships to become protostars while my ships were passing by.
Very well, General Bishop. The enemy could not argue with the effectiveness of your gunnery. Job well done. I will see you at the rendezvous.